start by calling the meeting to order. Thank you. First, we'd like to welcome everybody here this evening. Thank you all for your applications. We are excited to hear from each and every one of you, especially about the unique programs you represent and the value they bring to our community and to the Valley. So this is always a fun, at least for me personally, it's always fun to sit up here because I always leave in awe of what our community does and how it accomplishes their missions, and often does it with so little and a lot of passion, and that is truly inspiring. So to kick off our meeting tonight, we will start with roll call. Natalie, if you would.
Hyatt.
Here.
Morris.
Here.
Bachman.
Here.
Seppinger.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
Next, we'll move on to election of a chair. Do we have a motion?
I second.
Mike, you sure you don't want
it? I'm going to move to close nominations.
Okay. In that case. Well, thank you. I will endeavor to do my best. We have approval of minutes on the agenda tonight. And these minutes are from previous committee meetings, May 23rd, 2018. Very good. We have copies of this, and do we just need the motion? And okay. Do we move to accept the minutes from May 23rd, 2018?
I move to accept the minutes from.
Do I have a second? I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. Minutes have been approved. We'll move on to our public input portion. Natalie, do we have any speaker request forms for this evening? Okay, we can check that off. And we will ask Adam Hanks to please provide the staff report.
Sure. I thought I'd give a quick overview of the process. Most people, I think, are familiar with the process and have applied prior, but we'll go through real quick for both the benefit of the new committee members and the applicants. This process has been going on for quite some time in the city. The funding comes from the transit occupancy tax, and it's two different components, and that allows us to kind of expand the offerings that are available in these grant funds or the categories. There is $150,000 that the Budget Committee and Council approved of unrestricted funds, meaning that could be spent on anything in the city, and it was made a priority to remain with this process. $80,000 is the allocation that is a state tourism restricted, a very, very strict definition of how those can be used. And as you saw, as the applicant saw going through the applications, you have to make a case for how you met the state tourism definitions. For everyone's benefit as well, the eligible activities and criteria to kind of be the guideposts for the evaluation of the applications, they were set forth in by council in 2012 by resolution. So those, for each of the four categories of economic development, cultural development, tourism promotion, and sustainability, each of those four areas have lists of eligible activities and criteria for evaluation. Those aren't absolute. I mean, it does leave some room for some interpretation, which is by design. For each subcommittee that forms to do this process is a slightly different use of those, but those are the guideposts. And another kind of rules of the game that come from this resolution, the minimum grant award in total is $5,000. That was a change back in 2012 as well from maybe 1,000 or 1,500. I think a couple of items to note. We did have one late application that the resolution is fairly explicitly clear that those can't be accepted after the time. So there was one application that I believe is not in the packet, correct? Not in the packet, that was late, did not meet the due dates, that Natalie keeps very close track of. And we did have one withdrawal, and that is noted on the agenda and application. Siskiyou Bailo withdrew their application. That's all I have, just as a recap, and if there's any other questions I can answer.
Thank you.
Do you want us to declare any potential conflicts now? How do you, all up front or as applicants?
Well, if, yeah, if you know, and you know, some of these you may or may not realize until they come up there, but if you've noticed that you have some that are potential, the only things are, there would be an actual conflict of interest is if any member, and we try to vet this prior, you know, to for the budget committee being on this subcommittee, is if you're on a board or if a relative or spouse is employed by the entity directly, then that's a conflict of interest. Anything else is a potential. If you have friends, acquaintances, if you kind of donated to that particular applicant or have previously been on board and aren't anymore, I think those are potential. And the formal application of those conflict of interest would be done when this composite recommendation that you're going to make next Tuesday goes to the full budget committee. That would be where the, you know, we have to reiterate that and do that in a formal way. But anything you have at this point that's useful for the room of potential, I think, is now be a good time.
Thank you for that. Steve?
My wife is on the board of the Ashland Independent Film Festival.
And my wife, Jackie, is a member of both the Aura and Ashland Culture of Peace Commissions and is a commissioner on the Health, the Housing and Human Services Commission.
My daughter was taught by one of the applicants for Natives of One Wind Indigenous Alliance.
I have contributed money to a number of the applicants. The Rogue Valley Symphony, the Science Works, the Ashland Gallery Association, the SOU Foundation, Smatter Museum of Art, the Culture of Peace, the Art Center, the Film and Media, the, I'm not sure if that's true. Ashland Film Festival, but I don't think that's the same thing. And I've worked with the Lumacazzi Restoration Project, and I've also given to the Ashland Gallery Association. Oh, how else could we say it?
No, I think.
Well, needless to say, I think it's safe to say that there's a lot of integration within our community, and we're very fortunate for it. This evening's presentations, each group will have 3 minutes to speak. The order is in the order the applications were received. So as Natalie received the application, your name was put on the list. That will be the order we go by tonight. Given that it's baseball season, we'll follow a similar format. I'll call someone up to the table. I'll let them know who's on deck and who's in the hole, and we'll go from there. That way folks can know to be ready. We can keep things moving through. After each presentation, 3 minutes concludes, we'll have a chance to ask some questions if we need any clarification, and we will move through from there. Please feel free to ask any questions as we go along if I didn't clarify or if I missed a beat, which is very possible. And to begin, we would like to, and I'll do my best on pronunciation, but I do apologize up front. Feel free to correct me, please. We will start with Animal Movie Productions. The Harp will be on deck, and Rogue Valley Symphony Association is in the hole. Welcome. Feel free to start when you're ready.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Ethan Gansmorse, and I'm the executive director of Anima Mundi Productions, and I'm here tonight with our development director, Jane Canworthy. Anima Mundi Productions is a performing arts organization. I'm the co-founder along with my wife. I am a classically trained composer, My wife is an author and poet, and for a number of years we've been creating works that address urgent social issues through the arts, and we found that the arts are a powerful vehicle for addressing societal change and healing because they strip away the rational, political, discursive mind and go straight to the human experience. So over the years, we've done an opera about PTSD, we've done an opera about bullying and body issues, and we had the great honor and pleasure of working with the Rogue Valley Symphony last year on a piece called How Can You Own the Sky, which was about the Native American history of Southern Oregon. We collaborated with Brent Florendo from SOU and a number of other wonderful partners in that. So this has been very effective socially, culturally, artistically, and in all other regards in terms of each of these projects we've done. The challenge is that it takes us a long time to produce one of these, and so we're changing our model this year. And we're launching a concert series called The Heart of Humanities, which is this brochure here. We're going to be doing 3 concerts annually. Each concert addresses an urgent social issue. The first 2 concerts of each year will be guest artists, meaning guest composers and guest performers, taking on issues that are very urgently important to them. This October, we have Malik Jindali, a Syrian-American composer, doing a program called Peace Through Music, which has a number of peace-affiliated activities coming along with it. In January, we're bringing in Japanese-American baritone Christopher Nomura, who will be doing a piece about overcoming prejudice and healing the wounds of war. And finally, in April, my wife and I will be presenting the world premiere of a new piece called Dreams Have No Borders, which is based on our interviews of Oregon immigrants and tells the stories that we have gathered from those. And in the process, we have asked these immigrants, specifically from the Latino community, what is it that you want to share with the wider community? And they have said, we are people too, and we want our humanity to be seen. And we believe that telling these stories through music and poetry is a very, very effective and powerful way to express the humanity of all of our neighbors. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I'd just like to add that our soloists for that final concert are all Latino and are bilingual. And are enthusiastically looking forward to the opportunity to give voice to their community.
Thank you both. Questions from the group? Okay, thank you very much for your time tonight. Next, we invite Bahar.
I do have a process question.
Yes, please.
In terms of our notes going to be collected? Are they part of public records?
What's that?
We didn't
collect. Yeah. The scoring that we do on Tuesday is usually what we collect. The notes that prepare you for scoring do not typically go ahead and do the answer.
So we have the HARP, Rogue Valley Symphony Association is on deck, and Science Works will be in the hall. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Mark Iaconelli. I'm from the HARP. We're a grassroots community storytelling project. We started on Valentine's Day 2010 at the old Caldera Pub downtown. We spread the word. We were looking for love stories. We had teachers. We had a nurse. We had a guy from road construction here in the city. All told stories that were love stories with local musicians, and we raised money for the Ashland Food Bank that night. Since that time, we've had over 200 local people have stood up in front of their friends and neighbors to tell stories from their own lives to raise money for local charities. We've raised money for over 35 nonprofits in the Rogue Valley. And it's a popular night. We get 350 to 400 people come out for these events. Our last one was work stories, and we had local policemen and firemen, a woman from SOU, and people who work with the homeless tell stories. This has been a popular program, and we have trained other cities how to do this model. Grants Pass has a hearth. Klamath Falls has a hearth. Over the mountains here in Etna, California, they developed a hearth. And so last year we asked for a grant to help us develop a training program, a certificate in community storytelling. it turned out to be a success. We had 55 people sign up. About half came from out of state. They came from Texas and Louisiana. They came from Alaska, Colorado, Illinois, Wisconsin. They were journalists, teachers, activists, nonprofit executives, and community builders of all types. We're still in the middle of that six-month training. They do 3 days here. We do 6 months online. They do another 3 days here. So there was economic benefits. Those folks rented rooms. They stayed extra days to see plays and to see Crater Lake. We used restaurants to cater meals. And we held a community event for them all to watch how one of these storytelling events works. And what we're hoping to do in this next grant is we want to develop a teacher training. These people have come once. They want to know how to train people in their communities. And so this would be the second level of training. So we want to develop a little video where we get to interview those participants who have come to Ashland to learn this. We want to expand the hours for our program manager. We think we can get a lot more people coming to this program if we had more money for advertising. And so we feel like this is a win-win-win. It benefits the local community in what we're developing. It brings in economic development, and it also expands awareness of Ashland as a cultural center. So we're grateful for the last grant, and we hope to receive another grant. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the group? Thank you very much. Next, we welcome Rogue Valley Symphony Association, Science Works as in the Whole, and the Ashland Gallery Association of the Art Deck. Welcome.
Hello. Hi. My name is Joelle Graves. I'm the executive director of the Rogue Valley Symphony. I wanted to share with you part of what has happened with the funds that we have received from the City of Ashland. After I last saw you last year, we received notification from Ovation Television that we were selected as one of 12 organizations nationwide that was being honored as an organization focusing on the arts, and we were designated a part of an honor that they had put into place calling this group of organizations Arts Across the Heartland. In response to that, they told us that we had to have been nominated to them by a local legislator, that we had to be in a rural community 300 miles away from a larger population base, and that we had to be doing significant work to develop new audience. So they took a look at our social media. And that's what we were using the City of Ashland funds to enhance and develop. As a result of what they saw, they decided to nominate us for this honor. And then they produced a public service announcement that they began to play on Ovation Television that was all about Ashland and the Rogue Valley Symphony. That public service announcement played on their website and on their TV station, which you may know is devoted to arts programming, and in front of 55 million viewers. But the website started to get hits, and the next thing we knew, our public service announcement was the public service announcement out of the 12 that was receiving the most hits. So within 30 days, we had 10,000 hits. And within another 30 days, there were 45,000, and it kept going up from there, and so they decided to run the public service announcement for the entire year. As people were hitting the website and they were clicking in, they could click into our website, they could click into our links to the city, and we were hoping that people would discover Ashland and decide to come here for a visit. Then the next thing we knew, they notified us that they had put the dollar donation opportunity on their website. So if anyone clicked into the video, they could donate a dollar in support of the arts. And they took all the dollars that they raised from those many thousands of hits, and they immediately turned around and donated $10,000 to the symphony, and the rest of the funds were divided equally among the other 11 arts organizations. So I wanted you just to know that story, and that's what happened with that funding.
Thank you very much. Any questions from the group?
Are students at the college given any discount?
Yes, they are. And if students play in the orchestra, they receive college credit as well.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We invite science folks to come up. Ashland Gallery Association is on deck, and Rogue Valley Farm to School is in the hall.
Good evening. My name is Dan Ruby. I am the Executive Director of ScienceWorks Hands-On Museum, and this is Cliff Edwards, our Board President. We appreciate your time and consideration. As you know, ScienceWorks is a beloved institution wholly from Ashland, founded by Ashland residents, supported by Ashland, and functioning as a high-quality resource for our community for over 16 years, with the mission to be a champion of science. We serve a diverse region stretching from the coast to the Cascades, and as an attraction, we showcase the flavor of Ashland through a unique lens of innovation to 10,000 tourists annually. We're requesting funding from the City of Ashland for two areas this year. Economic development is the first. ScienceWorks designs and produces exhibits for the National Museum market. We buy local and we build local, bringing in $250,000 to the city's economy every year. The exhibits we develop here premiere here first, generating revenue through attendance and later through traveling sales and leases in following years. The exhibit department employs skilled craftspeople and artists and contracts with local fabricators and designers. We collaborate with other agencies to tell science stories that impact us on personal, regional, and global scales, with an aim of fostering homegrown innovation and curiosity-driven inquiry for lifelong learners that increase our quality of life. Funding from the city would enable growth in these efforts, and not only be spent on materials and supplies here, but generate significant additional revenue. Funding would contribute, along with support from private donors and foundations, to an expansion of the department that enables hiring more staff and contracted services. Funds would be used mostly toward marketing exhibits that we make, and partially for material supplies and staff time to implement. The second area is tourism. So ScienceWorks is highly rated, 94% excellent or very good ratings according to TripAdvisor, the number three thing to do in Ashland after only Lithia Park and Oregon Shakespeare Festival. We've brought in nearly 250,000 new visitors to Ashland since we opened. And we attract a largely different demographic than the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Mostly we get adults aged 35 to 44, elementary age kids, traveling in usually groups of four, two adults and two kids along the I-5 corridor from either Northern California Bay Area to Portland, Seattle, or vice versa. We are open year-round, so we present solid programming between October and April, and we have especially strong attendance during November and December. We carefully track the zip codes of attendees, so we know that 35% of our public visitors throughout the year are tourists. And we actually saw an increase in summer of 2018 during the season of wildfire smoke from first-time visitors outside the 50-mile radius looking to escape the smoke for a day to a safe indoor activity. We have a vibrant audience, and we know they spend more than the 2 hours and $30 to $40 on average per visit at the museum. Using figures from the 2018 Dean Runyon Associates report, we calculated to be an additional $200 on food, fuel, and goods, and $300 for the 10% of our visitors that lodge overnight. Added up, this means over $500,000 are spent in the city of Ashland each year by people living further than 50 miles away. So we ask you to keep in mind that we also serve as a nexus for other nonprofits, and we thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Questions from the group? Please, Stephen.
Thank you.
Yes.
What do you find is your most significant outreach tool to connect with this larger audience?
You're talking about public visitors?
Yes.
So we do lots of advertising.
What's your most significant market penetration tool that you've got?
It's going to be print publications for Northern California and for further up in Oregon and Washington.
What kind of publications?
Print publications.
Thank you.
Cindy?
Last year, I believe you awarded for discounted attendance fees for the community.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to know how successful that was.
Incredibly. So we do two things. We do a program that's always reduced $3 admission for Oregon Trail cardholders, and then we have First Sunday's program, where on the first Sunday of each month it's $3 admission for the entire day. And I don't off the top of my head know what the total number is for the year, but that's a successful program.
Thank you. Thank you both. We invite up Ashland Gallery Association. Rogue Valley Farm to School is on deck. Ashland Bed Breakfast Network is in the hall. Welcome.
Hello, I'm Kim Olson, administrator for the Ashland Gallery Association, and I have Sarah Burns with me. She is our board president and local arts. So first of all, we'd like to express our appreciation of the city's history of support, which has been crucial for our organization to maintain the programs we offer. We would not be able to preserve all that we contribute to Ashland without the city grant funding. For over 25 years, the AGA has been promoting working artists and small businesses in Ashland. We do this through our annual gallery guide publication, which I passed out to you. 10,000 copies are widely distributed year-round in Oregon and Northern California, as well as an online version on our highly trafficked website. This past year, we added a social media manager to our board and are piloting a social media outreach and marketing program. We cross-promote with OSF, Ashland Independent Film Festival, Oregon Cabaret Theater, Rogue Valley Symphony, Ashland Chamber of Commerce, Science Works, Camelot Theater, Brit Festival, Artslandia Magazine in Portland, local B&Bs, and wineries. We produce three annual art events. The first Friday Art Walk, your graphic with some statistics on it, is a year-round free cultural event available to people of all ages. Visitors enjoy the festive atmosphere, galleries, and many other businesses stay open late to take advantage of increased patronage and revenue. We would like to increase the number of First Friday trolley runs, which provides transportation between the Schneider Museum of Art, the Ashland Plaza, and Railroad District. A Taste of Ashland is our primary fundraiser. Approximately 700 people attend this annual two-day art, food, and wine festival, visiting 17 Ashland galleries and businesses, tasting local wine and restaurant fare, many staying in local lodging. The Ashland Open Studio Tour takes place in October, when private art studios will open to the public during this free two-day event. Visitors get a look behind the scenes into the art making process. We believe the visual arts are an essential and valuable component of Ashland's culture, and we strive to sustain and enhance our visual arts community. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the group? I do have one quick question, yes, if I may. The trolley. I know that your organization coordinates and supports that. Do you work with other providers or other businesses in the community to bring that service? It feels like it's used by many.
Yes, actually, the Schneider Museum of Art is coordinating the trolley, and we have not been able to help fund it very much. We'd like to be able to help out with that. They are unable to keep it going. Last year it only ran 1 month. And he does get sponsors from local businesses, like restaurants, and for instance, like Ashland Custom Frame down in the Railroad District, they donated to have it run last month. And, and they'll make a stop right near their business, that kind of thing. So we do get some sponsorships, but we're unable to really keep it going very often, is what I'm trying to say.
Thank you.
Okay.
We invite Rogue Valley Farm to School. On deck is Ashland Bed and Breakfast Network. In the hall, SOU Foundation Chamber Music Concert.
Okay. My apologies. I thought it might be a little bit easier. I can try one more time. My name is Sheila Carter. I'm the executive director for Red Valley Farm School, and I wanted to show you this video, the Siskiyou Challenge, which is one of the where the tourism dollars would go, is to support using this video to recruit a wider audience from throughout the Pacific Northwest. So I'm going to try one more time, and then I'm going to give up. That video was made possible with the funds from our grant last year, and what we're hoping to be able to do now is expand that out and actually use it as a marketing tool for the Pacific Northwest. The Siskiyou Challenge raises funds for our programs, including the programs that we have in the Ashland School District. The Digging Deeper School Partnership Program is serving schools throughout the valley. We have 7 partner schools, and it's building a culture of health within these schools. It's been extremely popular and has had a really large impact on Walker School specifically, and our hope in the next few years is to actually be able to broaden that out to the entire district of Ashland. Right now we're in the whole district of Central Point. We're also with Kids Unlimited in Medford. And one of the really exciting things that's happened this last year is that Ashland School District has a new food service director, and we're working with SOU to grow more crops as well as purchase from local farmers. So it's exciting times. We're very grateful for the support of the city, and I'm about to run out of time, so I can't tell you anymore.
Thank you. Technology is wonderful when it works, right? Any questions from the group? Yes, Stephen.
Thank you. Ashland has 3 elementary schools, and you seem to be only gaining entry into one. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes, so the way our program works is Road Valley Farm to School raises 90% of the funds for the program, and we ask the school to provide 10%. Walker School is the only one which meets the Title I free and reduced lunch level that we need in order to get foundation and government funding from outside the region. So the rest of the school district would love to have the program, and we've talked to all of the schools. We're just challenged with being able to raise the 90% of the funding for that program. So we're working on that, we're working both with the district and outside of the district to be able to bring the program to all of the elementary schools, because there's definitely a demand. We just need the funds.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we welcome Ashland's Bed and Breakfast Network. SOU Foundation Chamber Music Concerts is on deck. And our Youth Symphony of Southern Oregon will be in the hall. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having us here. I'm Brian Runyon, here representing the Ashland Bed and Breakfast Network. I'm on board of the ABBN, and I'm also a member and chair right now of the marketing committee. As you might already know, we're a destination marketing organization made up of 7 breakfast owners from here in Ashland, whose purpose, when we come together as a group in this capacity, is to promote Ashland. We're promoting Ashland as a tourist destination, marketing Ashland to more tourists to get them to come, to stay longer, to experience Ashland in more than just the peak season, and to explore all the varied businesses and all these great things that we have to offer, all these other events and things that are going on That is kind of our role as innkeepers, to share that and get people here doing these things and staying longer. We are an all-volunteer organization, so all grant money that we receive goes to cover the costs of the Stay Ashland promotion campaign. None goes to salary or any operational costs, and we actually pay in money ourselves also to it. So the grant money this year we would use it for is continuing to develop and distribute content for travel media outlets about things that are going on in the area, reasons to come, reasons to stay, reasons to stay longer. The sweepstakes getaway program, so all of our ends contribute some nights and run a sweepstakes program. We pair with other businesses in town to create packages to generate more interest. And that's our lead for generating an email list that we continue to circle through and market to people. We send out a quarterly, with that list, we send out a quarterly seasonal visitors guide. So kind of a what all is going on that you might not know about. You know, so many people know the big name things, but not everything else that there is to do in all seasons here in Ashland. And then we run an events calendar on the website. It's free, and all local businesses and can contribute to that. And so again, trying to really educate people about what all is going on and keep them staying here longer. If the grants are awarded, we do a portion of the money. Is needed with a professional consultant to do some of the technical work on some of the email, but that we keep local. So that would be a local person that would do that with that small portion of it. So again, the primary purpose of this whole marketing campaign is to get people here, increase the economic impact of those visitors while they're here, and keep them here longer. I'm happy to answer any questions you have, and appreciate your time on the committee. And
Thank you. Questions from the group?
The B&Bs contribute to the lodging tax for the city.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Whereas their B&Bs do not.
Correct.
So it sounds like having that information distributed in terms of the quality of the B&Bs would be important to the city in terms of that aspect.
We take our role as bed and breakfast owners very seriously in how we communicate with our guests, because it's not about them. Their experience is not about just staying in our bed and breakfast. Their experience is experiencing all these other wonderful things that's going on. And that is kind of what, as a group, when we come together to try to get that word out, takes it to a different level than what you might get from somewhere else.
Thank you. We invite the SOU Foundation Chamber Music Concerts forward. Youth Symphony of Southern Oregon is on deck, and the Clements Bird Observatory is in the hold. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm Larry Cooper, member of the board of Chamber Music Concerts. And as always, we're very grateful for the support we've received over the years from the City of Ashland via the cultural grants. And it makes possible our 12 concerts, bringing 8 world-class chamber music ensembles to Ashland. All our programs are presented in Ashland at Southern Oregon University at the Music Recital Hall. And then we take advantage of having this high level of excellence coming to our town by raising money primarily from grants and donations so that we can do an annual educational outreach program, mainly to reach students, but also to reach the general public. And these are a series of free programs. We try to do several residencies a year where a string quartet or trio will come and make, you know, 3, 4, even 5 of these free presentations during a week that they're here, and then they perform either once or twice for us. We have Friday evening concerts, and sometimes we have doubles where the same group does a Saturday matinee. And it also enables us to have discounted tickets for Oregon Trail users and for students especially. And we're going to share a little bit about what how our education programs go.
My name is Marilyn Anderson. I'm on the board of Chamber Music Concerts. We had, just last month, we had 6 Ashland High School string students experience a 2-hour master class that was taught by members of a professional German string quartet that was here to present a concert. There were 2 cello students and a student string quartet. They each group played pieces that they had prepared in advance, and that was followed by a teaching session by members of the string quartet. We in the audience were very impressed with how well these students were able to execute the changes that were pointed out to them, able to put into practice the things that they were being taught. We also had a chance to talk with a couple of the students after the master class and to hear the excitement in their voice. They'd never done anything like this before, and they were thrilled. It was truly a lifetime opportunity for them, and we were very happy to be able to present that to some of these Ashland High School kids. Thank you.
Yeah. And we also present programs. Usually, I'd say nearly 100% of our groups do a 12:30 to 1:30 presentation at SOU for primarily the music students there, but those programs are open to the general public, and we've been pleased to see quite a number of people have been attending. Thank you.
Thank you both. Questions for the group? Mike and Stephanie?
So you're not doing anything under the tourism category, just cultural?
No, just cultural. Yes. Yes. Although we do have audience members coming, spending money in town, but it's not a major impact. But we sell tickets to people all the way from Redding, California to Roseburg, probably, but certainly we have a number of people from Northern California and throughout the Rogue Valley outside of Ashland for all of our concerts.
And many of our groups stay in the local hotels.
Okay.
Right. I noticed that your audience includes a lot of young people. So this, in terms of some of the types of performances that more of our older population goes to, it seems like with your program you get a lot of young viewers as well.
Yeah, maybe Meryl to address that. She's the chair of our artistic committee.
We try to bring in ensembles that specialize in teaching capabilities as well as just performance. So we send them off to schools. They often perform the music that they're going to be playing for our older population at the concert that evening or the next night. So it's an exposure for the young population as well as a performance for the older population, and we supplement that with the discounted tickets for students and for music teachers as well.
Yeah, we have a program where we even offer free tickets for students who are accompanied by their local music teacher. So we, you know, and we depend, our future is all about young people.
I'm surprised you don't think that this affects economic development for students learning.
Well, you know, I have to say, I've been helping, you know, make these presentations for CMC and for other organizations for about probably a dozen years. And I think what we found was we really wanted to zero in, you know, there was the choice of economic development or cultural. And for a while, we sort of aimed at both, but then we realized, and we see some of the other presentations, there's so much more focused on the economic side, and our mission is really the cultural side, and because Ashland is such a strong venue for the highest culture, we just choose to stick to that.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. We invite Clement Bird Observatory. Ashland Hula's On Deck, and the SRU Foundation Schneider Museum of Art is in the hall.
Am I allowed to give that out to hand out?
Yeah. Oh, I apologize.
Oh.
I got ahead of myself. The SRU Foundation Chamber Music Concerts, just just heard from Youth Symphony, correct?
No,
my apologies. That's how I got confused. See, I knew I was going to need help staying sharp today. So please, if the Youth Symphony of Southern Oregon could come forward. Bird Observatory is on deck. Ashland Hula in the hall. My apologies for the confusion. Welcome.
Thank you very much. My name is Sharon Wilson. I'm Executive Director of the Youth Symphony of Southern Oregon. And of course, I'd like to extend my heartfelt thanks and appreciation on behalf of all of the musicians, past, present, and yet to come, to the City of Ashland for its longtime support of the programs and concerts and activities of our organization. As you can see from the proposal that we prepared this year, we have musicians from all over the Rogue Valley and in past years, even as far as Northern California and all the way over to Island Falls. We do a variety of performances throughout the year. We still have four performances yet to go this year. In fact, in about 10 minutes, we have a performance at the Rogue Valley Manor, so I'm going to skedaddle back over there shortly. And then we have our Spring Concert Series performances next weekend, including a performance Friday evening at SOU. And we have some wonderful repertoire coming up for that concert. I'll give a postcard and share it around the table. It's going to be lots of fun, I think. So the funding from the City of Ashland each year for our organization is designated to help support the performances that we do here in Ashland. And we do perform at the Oregon Arts Center and SOU at the Recital Hall because we want our musicians to have the best experience possible for the performances that we do throughout the Rogue Valley. So we perform with the Criterion Theater as well and the Grants Pass Performing Arts Center. We do chamber music concerts and we do what we call community outreach concerts at the Rogue Valley Manor. We do three of those each year. Next season, I would like to mention, it's very special for our organization, and I am hopeful that she'll make it till next season. She put so much of her heart and soul into this organization for so long, but next season is Dr. Cynthia Hutton's 25th season with the organization. So as you can imagine, we'll be planning some special repertoire honoring her next year. It is the organization's 32nd season of performances for Rogue Valley audiences. Musicians are between the ages of 6 and 23. Most of them, again, as you can see from the proposal, are in high school, but we do have middle school students as well, and even a handful of elementary school students. And as I said, they come from all over the Rogue Valley. We also are, although we do charge tuition, it's very important that all musicians who are qualified to be part of the organization can participate. So anywhere from 35 to 45% of the musicians every year receive tuition waivers, which is a very important part of what the organization is all about. We want to be as inclusive and accessible as possible. Tickets are $5 and $10, and we give free tickets and vouchers to all of our families and musicians as well. So be happy to answer your questions, and again, thank you very much for your support.
Thank you. Questions from the group? And again, my apologies on the mix-up.
That's okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy the concert this evening.
Thank you.
Now we invite the panel for Observatory forward. Ashland Hula is on deck. From the SOU Foundation, Schneider Museum of Art is in the hall. Welcome again.
Thank you so much. My name is John Alexander. I'm the founding executive director of Ashland-based Planned Observatory. I want to start by thanking you all for your support, but also I want to thank you for this opportunity. This is a very unique and classic Ashland opportunity. It gives us all the opportunity to sit in the room together and hear about what each other's doing. And over the years, the sense of camaraderie and support and kind of cheering each other on that we have during this and the subsequent funding opportunity is just really a neat opportunity for us as nonprofits to work with. So conservation birding. Bird watchers spend $36 billion annually on their hobby. And what we try to do is attract those folks to town, and then through your all's help and with our bird conservation community nationally, we've coined the term conservation birding. Once we get them here, we turn their interest into opportunities for visitors and local people to contribute time, data, funding, and other things to the conservation of birds. Our community education programs that you all support model sustainability through the teaching of science-driven conservation and the three E's of sustainability: environmental protection, economic sustainability, and social equity. These birds are migratory, and they connect us all throughout the Western Hemisphere. Our Walk and Talk program is core to what we do here. We offer an evening presentation and a follow-up walk where local birding experts contribute their time to teach courses. This is for both the community and out-of-town guests. Our data on our guests suggests that they spend $170 a day when they come in from out-of-town. That part of the program alone has brought $4,000 into the community. That's not the money coming to us, that's the money that they're spending in town here. We also contribute to other kind of events. This weekend we're going to be partnering with North Mountain Park and the City of Ashland's World Migratory Bird Day. Invite everybody to come down and see science in action and also learn more about the birds. We've been developing education tools. I've handed one out. We have various different handouts. This is one we created this year, focusing on our partnership with Lomacotsi and Willow Wind Community Learning Center. With 18 years of data, we demonstrated the value of the restoration that Lomacotsi's been doing here urbanly along our creek. And then we show how that directly relates to economic benefits to the town. Especially if you look at that, those data that are in the brochure, it looks at fall and winter bird communities. So there's spectacular birding here even outside of the Shakespeare season. We also have an interactive online decision support system, so anybody who birds can contribute data to the largest biological data set on Earth. And then we offer windows into those data so they can actually look at the data and ask, what might I see where and when? And that's another product that we developed this past year. Novel to our project this year is going to be a pub talk series. And what we're going to do is we're going to invite scientists from other organizations in the region and do some fun lightning talks. And we're going to focus on women in science and technology. Planet Bird Observatory is a leader in women in science and technology. And the majority of our scientists, we have 8 full-time staff working in town here that are paid competitive wages and are leaders in science and conservation. We match your dollars each year, at least 2-to-1 through other grants, fees, sponsorships, and last year we calculated $40,000 in the contribution of time.
Thank you. That was quite a lot in 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
I'm sorry, y'all. In 3 minutes.
You actually gave me an extra 30 seconds, I think. The clock didn't quite start going.
Well, you made it through. Questions from the group?
You don't have anything in terms of customer age percentage of different age groups. Is there a reason that you...
We mostly we do children events like this weekend, but mostly we're doing community education programs, so mostly adult programs. Children are welcome.
Thank you.
You mentioned the pub talks. I assume you're partnering with locations here in Ashland for those? Where are those being hosted?
That's the idea. This is novel to the project, so assuming that we're able to fund this, we're going to start working with folks. Cal Era has always been a contributor to Klamath Bird Observatory. We've done stuff that's standing stone before, so we're going to sort that out as we go.
Beer and birds.
Excuse me? Beers and birds. We've done that, but we're really going to invite scientists from other organizations. Birds,
got
but
it.
Beer, for sure.
Fair enough.
Cocktails, too.
Anything else in the group? Thank you.
Thank you.
Cocktails and cockatoos.
Okay, Ashland Pula, please. SOU Foundation, Schneider Museum of Art is on deck, and the Southern Oregon Repertory Singers in the Hole. Welcome.
Thank you, and aloha. He is Beer and Birds, Wear Wine and Hula. My name is Andrea Lucchese, and I am a co-founder and the board president of Kapiowa and Wainui. I noticed you saved the Hawaiian words for me by referring to us as Ashland Hula. And I'm here with one of my students, Kanika Apalata. So we are a Hawaiian cultural preservation organization, and our mission is to actively participate in the promotion, perpetuation, and preservation of the wisdom and knowledge of the Hawaiian culture and its traditional practices.
We were founded in 2012, and we are the funding arm of our affiliate organization, a community partner, Halau Hula, which is the school of hula, Kapi'o Kean in Niue. So it's an Ashland-based school, and we have roots on Hawaii Island. I am credentialed in Hawaii by esteemed Hawaiian cultural practitioners as a kumu hula, or master teacher of hula. As an organization, our objective is to fund programs that both educate and entertain, but primarily that inspire, enrich, and uplift our community and the people we serve in ways that are uniquely Hawaiian. And we do this by providing Hawaiian cultural activities through our events, our classes, and our workshops for people of all ages. Right now, our student base is age 5 to 70, as well as people of all ethnic and socioeconomic backgrounds. We also host Hawaiian cultural practitioners and musicians from outside the area to share their knowledge and heritage with our community and further support cultural awareness. Our nonprofit has produced over 15 Hawaiian cultural performance events in the Rogue Valley, reaching thousands of people over a 7-year history. And building on the success of some of those events, we are going to be producing the Ashland Aloha Festival at Frisbee Peak Winery on July 21st. We did that 2 years ago. We'd like to scale the event with the support of the city. And what the event entails is an afternoon of experiential hands-on activities with cultural practitioners from our area as well as outside of the area. We have two people coming from a historical park in Hawaii to provide activities in traditional printmaking, traditional instrument making, lei making. We also have a Hawaiian musician coming from Hawaii who provide entertainment. We will be providing a show as well as in traditional ancient and contemporary hula. But with the support of the city, we're hoping to build this into an event of national notoriety in the future that will draw people from outside of the area and beyond the reach that we've been able to have so far. Wow, those 3 minutes went very quick.
Thank you. Questions from the group? Thank you both for your presentation.
Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.
We invite SIU Foundation, Schneider Museum of Art, Southern Oregon Repertory Singers are on deck, and Mount Ashland is in line. Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. My name is Scott Melbourne. I am the director of the Schneider Museum of Art. The Schneider Museum of Art is free and open to the public. We are open year-round. We cater to all ages. And by being free, we are accessible to all. As you can see with the grant, we are looking for most of the funds to go into tourism. So I'm going to start with that. The museum has been averaging 14,000 visitors a year. This year we are on track for 15,000. But based off of last year's 14,000 and our surveys, surprisingly, 42% are from 50 plus miles away. 25% stated that they will stay overnight. That is 3,500 overnight stays, 3,500 times the average of $135 for a night per hotel room is $472,500. At the 10% transient tax rate, that is $47,250. 51% of this 14,000 of our patrons stated that they will patronize local restaurants. Lunch, according to the state of Oregon, for per diems, lunch is an average of $15 and dinner an average of $30. That mean is $22.50. 7,140 people eating times 2250 is $160,650. At 5% tax for that, that's $8,032.50. Total revenue is $633,150 and total tax is $55,280. So I've been with the Schneider Museum, this summer would be my fourth year, and coming in 4 years ago, I've recognized the immense potential that it has. With its exhibitions catering to both academic and community groups,
connecting up and down the I-5 corridor, bringing in national and internationally recognized artists, collaborating with other local nonprofit organizations. It's been a wonderful time, extremely rewarding, working with a very small staff. We are a teaching museum. We have students that work with us. We give them title positions, duties, and responsibilities. They use that to launch into other graduate programs or jobs in the community and beyond the Rogue Valley. With the cultural development, you can see we're looking for funds for our Free Family Day. Years past, we've only applied for the cultural development and have received the minimum of $5,000. Last year, being awarded more in the tourism, we were only awarded $1,000 in the cultural development. We were able to utilize materials from the past for this past year, but next year, looking forward, we are in desperate need for funds for our Free Family Day, which we do once a month, families plan for free. The children get to engage in hands-on activity that relate to the artwork on view. And I can talk all night.
Thank you. Any questions from the group?
I still have the chicken picture from years past of one of your Free Family events. Yeah. It's not great to see. Great to see the kids. Some of their pictures are better than mine.
Thank you. We welcome Southern Oregon Repertory Singers, Mount Ashland is on deck, and Southern Oregon Pride is in the hand. Good evening, welcome.
Thank you. Good evening, and thanks for your past support. My name is Brian Tingle. I'm the co-founder of Sing Bass and Repertory Singers, all 33 years. And as a matter of fact, our closing concerts are this weekend, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, at the Music Building Recital Hall on the SOU campus. And with me is Adam Sperber, a member of the board, as I am as well. We weren't aware that we were going to be having an opportunity to make a presentation, so this is a little off the cuff. But we're applying for funding from the city again, in both cultural and tourism, and I thought maybe it might be good to highlight part of our proposal is to help with publicity and outreach for our third annual New Works Festival that's coming up this next spring. At last year's initial New Works Festival, which we did in March of 2018, we hired a professional photographer, a videographer, and audio recording person, and as a result of that, a commission that we presented as a premiere at that first festival last year was picked up by Blade Oregon, which is a nationally syndicated program for the arts, performing arts organizations here in the state of Oregon. And part of our grant proposal is to see if we can leverage that opportunity with the New Works Festival in future years, whereby we can continue to hire the professional recording person to come in and do a video and record audio recording so that we would be at national standards for public broadcast. So I think that's all I've got for at this point. I'd be happy to take any questions, and thanks for your consideration.
Did you want to make any remark?
Oh, sure. Part of what it is we like to do is expand our social media presence. Excuse me. Our hope being that, especially with things like the First Light concert that Brian just spoke about, is to expand our visibility, not just nationally, but internationally. We had a composer, Will Todd, who we performed, who came and sat with us and did a master class at SOU with Dr. Paul French's students. Joby Talbot has also composed for us, and of course our composer in residence, Joby French. And so we want our social media campaign to create more of an awareness, to bring people in from outside of Ashland.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Questions for the group? Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We welcome the Mount Ashland Association. On deck is Southern Oregon Prom and the whole Post Growth Institute. Welcome.
Thank you for your time. So thanks for the support we've received from the City of Ashland, our Mount Ashland Shuttle Bus Association. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Hiram Toll. I'm the General Manager at Mount Ashland, and this is Mike Stringer. He's our Marketing and Development Director. And so thanks to the support that we received with this grant program, we've been able to grow our Mount Ashland Shuttle Bus Program, and it was a huge success this year. The reason for that success is that it's been made free and frequent. That's what gets people to ride buses. It leaves every hour on the hour from downtown, which makes it easier to understand and for people to take part in. And who doesn't like a free ride? So 10,000 people visited Mount Ashland as tourists this past season. We do these RRC surveys that suggest that. And they stay an average of 3.3 nights. And according to data from the Ashland Chamber, that means about $4 million was spent in the area during our ski season by these visitors. And so we calculate that the local impact of visiting tourists who rode the snow bus, because obviously all of them didn't, but assuming 20% of them did, that's about $400,000 worth of money that's been spent. So for every dollar that was invested through this program by the City of Ashland, there was a return of $48.50, pretty significant. The shuttle system has become a critical piece of the puzzle as we try to bring in outside tourist visitors. The reason being, they can come, they can stay locally, enjoy a delicious meal, visit other attractions, and support our off-season economy, which is what Mount Ashland has the pleasure of living in. When you look at a standard Ashland visitor, they don't generally have all-wheel drive vehicles, and to navigate our Black Diamond access road is often challenging, even if they do. Offering shuttle transportation to these visitors and the peace of mind that they can visit Ashland, go skiing, and return safely in time for a dinner and a show is very important to our success. So we gave 5,550 shuttle rides this year, and that reduced visitor carbon emissions by 50 tons. And when you couple that with our energy savings from other initiatives like our solar installation that prevented 10 tons of CO2 emissions and the energy performance improvements we've made in the lodge, pretty much puts Mount Ashland at the forefront of the ski industry and even helped us to earn a Stoke certification in 2017, which is a sustainability certification specific to the ski industry. And we feel like these efforts put us squarely in line with the priorities of not just this grant program, but with the goals and the priorities of the City of Ashland. We've also captured attention of other skiers who are contacting us, asking us how we did it. Next year, we're going to increase capacity with the goal to increase participation in the program another 10%. And we hope that you'll join us in investing in this innovative and forward-thinking program. And we thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you.
And I hope you have questions.
Questions from the group?
Well, I suppose a statement that seems like it would be in line with our seat goal.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much for your support and for your time.
We welcome Southern Oregon Pride. On deck is the Post Growth Institute. In the whole Ashland Children's Theater. Good evening,
hello.
Welcome.
Hello, my name is Gina Duquesne, and I'm the founder and president of Southern Oregon Pride. And this is Randy McKay, my support, and he stepped in to do the grant. Southern Oregon Pride was founded in 2010. That was when we had our first Pride Parade here in Ashland. In 2016, we turned the parade over to Lotus Rising Project, and they are no longer up and running, so we came in and we took the parade back. This year, we are looking to move forward in June next month by celebrating 50 years since the Stonewall Riot, and 50 years since our first Pride Parade in New York. And we want to do that by inviting people to go into the restaurants and the pubs and the bookstores and shop in celebration of where we are, where we're going, where we are, and just kind of prep and get ready for October. The 4th of July, we plan on being in the 4th of July parade because So Pride, we are chamber members and continue to be. And it's the 4th of July parade where we take part in it. We want to let people know, don't put those floats away, just park them, dust them off, and bring them back in October. This year, we asked Senator Merkley to be our grand marshal. And he, depending on where he is in the world, he is very excited to be on board with us. We are going to have a kickoff dance at Ashland Hills Hotel the Friday, and then that Saturday we will have the parade. Looking at records of a count of what we did in 2016 when we did the parade, we had over 2,500 people come to Ashland just for the one day. It's for fun, it's for free. We have vendor booths in the park, and Randy,
Well, I think one of the things that's important about this festival is not only showing the diversity of our community, but supporting the diversity of those communities that aren't so fortunate to have a pride parade or festival or any kind of outlet for their communities, and allowing those folks to come to our community and experience how wonderful Ashland is and come back and join us year after year.
When tourism season is winding down, that's when Pride Parade picks up. People come from Redding to Idaho, from south of Portland, because there is no celebration of Pride in those in-between areas.
Thank you both. You actually answered my question right there at the end. I was curious where folks came in from, so thank you for that.
I work for Newman Hotel Group, and our hotels are full during those weekends. So.
That's wonderful to hear. Questions for the group? Yes, Debbie.
I noticed that in terms of your customer age, you have a large percentage of younger people. So it seems like that's another important demographic that would mean an exposure to being accepted.
Mm-hmm. We do. We have a very diverse group, but young people, they need that support and somewhere to go. The first time I did this, I thought we'll just do it and have fun. But there were so many people and so much positive feedback we had from, God, are you going to do it again? We want to come again. And I had never felt that much outreach and need. And right now, there really is a need to continue the unity.
Stephen?
As the faculty advisor at South Bedford High School for the Gay-Straight Alliance back in 2008, 2009, 2010. Do you have an outreach in Ashland High School, a direct outreach for students?
We have worked directly with the schools in Ashland, and we have, because the parade is for fun and for free, last time we did the parade, we had the Ashland Band, the Ashland School Band, working very closely with the students at SOU, and we always have a huge contingency from SOU and Ashland, and even Crater High School is really big. Matthew Reynolds, he comes in with a big group of people, and we have parents who have never experienced this, and they come with their children and grandparents, and it's a real family thing, and I'm just really glad that we have an opportunity here in Ashland to let people see that we are united and that we are having a conversation and we are supportive, and we thank you for your support every year.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
We invite the Post Growth Institute. On deck is the Ashland Children's Theater and Rose World Music in the Hall. Good evening, welcome.
Hi, thank you. My name is Crystal Arnold. I'm Education Director at Post Growth Institute, and this is Carly Corrado, our Board Secretary.
And we received the Ashland City grant 2 years ago, and we're able to fund over 15 scholarships for our not-for-profit way training program that we ran last year. And so we aim to, with this grant, if we get this, to expand that to a four-day training and bring in more people from out of town. We had people from Portland, Spokane, Washington, and Bend attend this last training, staying in hotels overnight, eating local meals. So the not-for-profit way, we are passionate about revitalizing local economies through supporting nonprofit enterprise. And we encourage people in this training to leverage their strengths, to be able to generate strategic plans, to pitch their projects more confidently. And we have served over 300 organizations in these trainings over the last 10 years or so, including at our last one, Madron Trail School, Peace House, the Rogue Valley Pollinator Project. And just last month, we put together a directory of over 100 nonprofits here in Ashland alone. So we really want Ashland to be seen, as far as our tourism category, as a place where people come for education and as a hub of this non-profit ecosystem. So we have economic impact, bringing people to the town, and are increasing the visibility of Ashland through this upcoming training.
Yeah, so I'm a local business owner in Ashland, and I discovered PGI when I went to a full-day training, and I was so inspired by it and the material that I learned that I joined the board. And so after joining the board, I attended this three-day training that Crystal is speaking of, and it was so jam-packed with information as well as a really beautiful place of networking and connecting with these different organizations locally and people coming in from afar. And an example of that was I ran into someone who's a local soap maker just 2 weekends ago, and we connected. His business is expanding. I learned where he sells his product, so then this week I went and bought it, and he connected me with an ideal client in town. And now that you mentioned the Pollinator Project, I actually met the director of the Pollinator Project, and I had gone to an AgTech conference to present, and I met up with her because it was right after the training, and she helped me prepare. So anyway, thank you for your attention.
Excellent segue. Questions from the group? Thank you both.
Thank you.
We invite forward the Ashland Children's Theater. On deck is Rogue World Music. In the hole is Rogue Rowing.
Good evening. We are Ashland Children's Theater. My name is Kate Sullivan. This is Eve Smythe, and this is Brandy McDonald. Eve and I are co-directors of ACT, and Brandy is a supporter and volunteer. We run year-round classes and performances for ages 4 through 17. We've been around for 14 years. Eve is hot off a rehearsal with 14 teens.
Yes, teenagers doing improv.
We want to thank you for your support last year. We've been able to expand, and we're really looking forward to a show this weekend.
Hello, my name is Brandy McDonald, and I'm a supporter of the Ashland Children's Theater, and I'm here today as a long-term resident of Ashland and a parent, and as a grown-up who has benefited from children's theater myself. And I just wanted to share my enthusiasm for this group, for the culture that they bring to our community, and the training opportunities for our children in a community that's has such a vibrant theater. They're giving children opportunity to not only be on stage, but to learn the work that goes on behind the stage, which I think is very valuable
for giving our young people a look at some options they have for staying in our community after they graduate, and also an opportunity for tourists coming to our town with children to have another opportunity to have a cultural experience in Ashland that's age-appropriate for the entire family, not only by going to performances put on by the children of our community, but they offer things like the family improv workshop, weekend workshop for the entire family, and also summer camps that are appropriate for both local children as well as families that are visiting Ashland. Thank you.
Oh, can I talk passionately for 30 seconds?
Yes, 30 seconds.
So it's just been such an amazing experience working with children from ages 6 to 17 and giving them a place to really connect, especially as technology becomes more and more prevalent in our world. And this is a place where human beings are connecting with each other. And I'm passionate about theater and improv. And improv is really about some of these life tenets of making your partner look good and staying good-natured and staying positive, and that are such amazing life skills. Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Questions from the group? We appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
We invite Rogue World Music forward. Rogue Rowing is on deck. And Southern Oregon Film Society in line. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Val Rogers, Executive Director of Rogue World Music. I want to thank you for your grant award 2 years ago in support of our project with Ballet Folklorico, a cultural arts group based in Medford. And we exceeded all of our targets on that project. So we're back now, 2 years later, requesting funding for a much larger and broader project, and that is the Ashland World Music Festival. Relatively new event, this will be only the fourth year, but this year it has expanded from a one-day event to a four-day event, and from one concert series in the park to seven different activities over 4 days. We produced this event in partnership with Ashland Parks and Recreation Commission, and my colleague there is Recreation Manager Lonnie Flora. He could not be here tonight because it's his daughter's 9th birthday, so he's being a great dad, but I'd like to read you a brief letter of support. It's just a few statements that he sent. He says, when the Parks and Recreation Commission initiated the festival project in 2015, their goal was to create an event that advanced their mission and also reflects the values of the Ashland community. We believe this festival is crucial to a community that values multiculturalism and celebrates the diversity in our area. And having Rogue World Music, that's our organization, as a partner, is crucial to the festival's success. Rogue World Music has led the festival's development for the past 3 years, growing it into a multi-day, multi-location, free event for the community. And Parks and Rec staff would not be able to produce the festival without Rogue World Music's labor and expertise in festival operations, budgeting, fundraising, and community involvement. Our partnership benefits the city by providing both citizens and visitors with a unique opportunity for a festive experience outside the smoke season that's welcoming and safe for everyone. And it's a public-private partnership that's a win-win because it's an example of government leveraging public funding with private resources and something that citizens do appreciate. So we offer our full support in Rogue World Music's endeavors to reach our shared vision for this event. So that's from Lonnie Flora, our recreation manager at Parks and Rec. I think if you examine the proposal, you'll see that the cost-benefit ratio for this event is quite strong. $5,000 of funding from the city would leverage $55,000 in secured, pending, and planned funding. And our impact for that is expected to be 5,000 people enjoying new access to cultural arts programs.
Thank you. Questions?
Is there an event coming up real quick?
It is. The third, or the fourth rather, Ashland World Music Festival is weekend after this coming weekend. It actually begins a week from tonight with a free storytelling event on the theme of home. That will be at the Unitarian Church, followed by master classes at Southern Oregon University, and also electronic dance music for young adults, and then the free concerts in the park on Saturday, a listening session to get feedback and input from people, and then a family-focused participation and creation event at ScienceWorks, who is our featured nonprofit partner for this year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. We invite Rose Ryan to come forward. Southern Oregon Film Society is on deck. And Brava is in the hall. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. My name is Rick Brown. I'm the executive director at Rose Ryan, and this is Deborah Gordon. She's one of our many great volunteer board members. We are a well-established and respected community rowing program. We were lucky enough to win the 2017 Club of the Year Award, which is a national award given to over 1,300 clubs across the country for our work with the community and within rowing. With funding from this grant, it would go towards a new dock. The current dock that we have out at Immigrant Link is close to 20 years old, and one that we continue to maintain, and volunteers put in countless hours to try and keep it afloat, and it obviously allows us to do everything that we do out there. Rowing is something that changes lives. It is an unbelievable activity for both the mind and the body, and certainly everything that we do is connected to that. I thought I'd just take a few minutes here to talk about just some updates on what's happened even in the last month since we have applied for this grant, just kind of as a synopsis of all that is happening and all that this the funding for this doc would go towards. We have an adaptive program for people with physical and intellectual disabilities. That program goes year-round, but is back on the water within the last month, and has about five new members that have come out within the last couple weeks and gotten on the water. Our juniors program is going strong and in the middle of competitive season. I was out at South Medford High School at a sign-in for a senior in high school that's going to be running at Oregon State next year. So that was an exciting moment. We've had a Learn to Row activity for adults that brought about 30 new people out, and they've continued to row with our beginning adult program. We have a program with 50 Ashland High School students that aren't on our team but came out during a PE class and a field trip that came out and were able to get on the water. I was just on the phone last week with a coach from Florida International Technology. They have their plans in place to come out and train before the national championship, which is in Sacramento, and they come out here. We had a boat from Southern Oregon University that won a championship at the Western Intercollegiate Rowing Association in just last weekend, and pretty huge accomplishment. So we certainly do a lot, and we have a lot going on. We bring funds from outside the area as well as service the community as a whole, every age. Thank you.
I'm not surprised to see that 20% of your the population is an older population, so rowing is something that you can do for a lot of luck.
Yeah.
As a 71-year-old, I admire our plus 90-year-old who still takes her own boat out and gets a good workout rowing around the lake. And if the coach isn't watching, we do bird watching out there.
Yeah, it's a pretty awesome activity that you can start at any age. And we have new members that start in their 60s and 70s every year.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
We invite the Southern Oregon Film Society to come forward. Brava's on deck. And the Lithia Artisans Market in the hall. Welcome, good evening.
Thank you. Richard Herskowitz, I'm the Artistic Executive Director of Southern Oregon Film Society, what's known as the Ashland Bend Film Festival. And thanks in large part to the support we've received from the city since 2013, AFF has become one of Ashland's most illustrious and beloved events. In 2016, we were ranked by the National Movie Maker Magazine, one of the 25 coolest film festivals in the world. In 2019, as well as in 2018, Movie Maker called us one of the 50 festivals worth the entry fee for filmmakers. That's out of over 2,000 in the USA. Our mission is to celebrate the diversity of human experience through independent film. That is, we emphasize films by voices neglected by the mainstream media, such as films by women and people of color, LGBTQ folks. For example, 4% of commercial features in movie theaters are directed by women, but 54% of our features this year were women directed. We've built a world-class film festival in this small city, and now we've been working hard to sustain it. We pack our theaters, but ticket sales and memberships cover just about 40% of what it takes to run a festival and its year-round programs. Bringing in housing over 100 filmmakers to Ashland, building the infrastructure to professionally mount 160 programs over 5 days, half-plus monthly events is costly, although we've made the organization as streamlined and efficient as possible. We're requesting this year funds towards cultural development and mostly tourism. The amount we're asking is equal to what we received from the city in 2013. The last 2 years, our allocation has dropped dramatically. We've been feeling it, and so we're hoping for a boost this year. The request for cultural development includes support for our efforts over the past few years to become more, especially now, become more of a year-round attraction, including expanding World Film Week. We're working on launching new summer cinematic offerings during smoke season, including a new program called Movies Oregonians Love. We're approaching the Guanajuato Film Festival in a partnership. In terms of tourism support, 35% of the festival attendees come from outside of Ashland. 88% of attendees are frequenting Ashland restaurants. We calculated from our survey that our patrons generated $1.25 million in local revenue in April, about $47 for every dollar provided by the city. Funding will support hiring of part-time seasonal employees. Our ability to invest in staffing as well as marketing and promotional activities will keep growing our audiences and illicit spending by patrons that will support our local economy. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I may have to declare a potential conflict of interest because I believe Cindy caters for the film festival or something. I don't know.
The joy of our integrated community.
Yeah.
Questions from the group? Thank you for that, Mike.
So the Ashland Independent Film Festival, does it, it does the world film.
That's right.
As well as
what's happened is that we have been growing that World Film Week, which the Varsity Theater, Country Attractions Theater, has initiated something like 25 years ago, into a festival, a fall festival to complement our spring festival. And we've been bringing filmmakers present. They're doing the same things we do during the film festival. That's growing the past 2 years particularly.
Thank you.
Stephen?
Can you talk a little bit about your collaboration with Coming Attraction, how you are able to get those venues?
The head of Coming Attractions Theater is one of the people who originated the film festival 20 years ago when they had it conceived. And they provide the theaters to us for very discounted fee by being able to consolidate our programs in the Varsity Theater. Increasingly, they provide the Ashland Street Cinema as well. That has been given us a major hub for our programs. They also support us with occasional benefit events all through the year.
Thank you.
It's been a great collaboration. It's astounding how many people you've packed in those theaters during that week.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, welcome, Rava. Lydia Artisan is on deck. And the Ashland Culture of Peace Commission is in the hall. Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening. I'm Laurie Hall, General Director of Rava Opera Theater and James M. Collier Young Artist Program. We were founded in 2010, and we're one of only three professional opera companies in Oregon, one in Portland, one in Eugene, and one in Ashland. Since 2010, we've held 9 opera master classes that have trained 101 singers. We've presented 9 operas in English because we want to make opera accessible. We've held 8 vocal competitions with 636 singers from around the country and distributed 55,000 in prizes. And we presented 6 vocal competition winners concerts here in Ashland. We want to thank you for your generous support over the many years. You supported 3 of our 4 main programs last year, and we're requesting support for those 3 same programs this year. And first, on September 24th, we'll be presenting Portland Opera's production of La Bohème at SOU Music Recital Hall. And it is a program that's designed for all ages and especially geared for kids even age 7th grade and up, so it's not the full production. And it will be in English. And then next, on January 25th, we'll have 2 opera master classes for 10 regional singers, Seattle down to LA. It's very, very competitive. We always have at least 5 to 6 local singers who we include in the master classes, but people clamor to come because we bring in San Francisco Opera's music director, Mark Morash, to do those opera master classes. We hold it at Rogue Valley Unitarian Fellowship. Last year we had a full house of people observing for 5 hours. So it's a really wonderful experience for the singers as well as for the audience. And then next we will present the 2020 San Francisco Opera ABBA Fellows Grand Opera Concert on January 26th at SOU Recital Hall. This concert will feature world-class emerging opera singers, several who have recently won the Metropolitan Opera National Council auditions, the most prestigious competition in the world. Lastly, we provide free tickets to all SOU music students and up to 100 to 125 free tickets for students any age if they're needy. This last year we actually provided 125 free tickets. And I'd love to answer your question. Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you. Questions from the group?
Can you very quickly outline the relationship with the Collier Theater?
Yes, James Collier actually wanted to start an opera company in 2010 to take advantage of our incredible artistic director, Lillian Gunn, who was the director of the San Francisco Conservatory of Music for 30 years. She's published a book that is the number one book for training young opera singers. And we started out our very first year, all we did was a vocal competition in San Francisco. We tried it in Ashland. I told you guys last year, I think that was a question. But airfares and that kind of thing, it didn't work out. We did it for 2 years here. But we did an opera workshop and master class, and we started that way. We were super successful, and then the next year we started an opera. So he was our primary benefactor to get us started, and we have kept his name because we don't ever ask for support for our vocal competition, which is actually a nationally known program. We attract singers from, last year it was 22 states. It's called the James M. Collier National Vocal Competition, and it's known worldwide and based here. So it's a real, that's how we got started with Jim. He continues to provide support for that.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we welcome the Lithia Artisans Market. On deck is the Ashland Culture of Peace Commission. In the hole is the Rogue Valley Food System Network. Good evening.
My name is Marcus Scott. I'm the manager for the Lithia Artisans Market. There's been a market in one form or another on Cayo Guanajuato since 1983. Lithia Artisans Market of Ashland, incorporated in 1983. So we've been there for 26 years. Last year, we did not get a grant from you guys, but we're back. We restructured how we were thinking about this. We listened to your suggestions. Last year, somebody on the committee said, are you working with like-minded groups? And since then, we've been working very diligently to make those connections. We're working now with the Ashland Gallery Association. We have been a couple of years now. We're chamber members for over 20 years. We're working with the Ashland Arts Center. And one of the things that we do is we like to get these folks in our booklet. The booklet is one of the main reasons I'm here today. We work at the Orkins Shakespeare Festival, Brit out of Jacksonville. Every restaurant in Kaiawanawato that we share the space with is also listed in the booklet for free and given the opportunity to put an ad in here, which costs them a little bit of money. We believe this booklet is a very strong tourist draw. We believe it's a great, it's a cultural look at what's happening in Kaiawanawato, and we think that we're a cultural draw. We also think we're a major economic driving force in the city of Ashland. Represent 90-plus micro-industries all working out of their homes. These are people that are low impact on our society and on our environment. They're local. They're trying to make a family living wage, and sometimes this is just a partial supplement to what they make. We're cultural. We have two shows on every Saturday featuring local singer-songwriters. Average, we have 17 to 20 local artists who are showing on the Calle throughout the season. These singer-songwriters are performing twice on Saturday, as I said, so that's two-hour sets, 4 hours of music. Another two-hour set on Sunday. This is all free to the public. All of our art that's shown on Calle Guanajuato is locally made, and it's a juried art show, so everything is of very high quality. Kind of stuff around my neck. Every single bead here is made by me. It takes me about 30 minutes a bead to make these beads. That's just a good indicator of the kind of things you're going to find. We also decided to look at tourism. And so I asked my most popular artist out there to keep track of what people were buying and where they're from. And she found 92% of her customers were from beyond 50 miles. I think the number's closer to 85 to 87%. And I oftentimes hear from our visitors, I came here specifically to see you as part of our trip to Ashland. I've actually signed a few of these things with a felt tip marker on my ad because people think they're so neat. I've got a lot more I can say, but my time's up. So if you guys have any questions, it's all in the grant.
Questions for the group?
In terms of staff residents, are you saying that
about half of our artists are from Ashland, and roughly half, I think about 40% are Medford, Phoenix talent. I have one artist who's from Etna, that area, Siskiyou County. I've got one artist from Tequila, off of Cave Junction. And then we offer a visiting artist program. In fact, the lady who did the mural on Kaiawanawato, Loretta, who's a friend, is going to be on the 4th of July, and we'll be giving her space. We do that for artists out of Portland, out of Eugene. Sometimes we have guest artists. Right now, we're really tight for space. We've got about 40 people showing on a regular basis, which is huge for that space.
Are artists generally the same artists each year? Are they curating for a year?
If you're a juried member and you keep your membership up and you have made any changes and you've gone through the jury process again, in other words, if you're showing the paintings and suddenly you want to be a bead maker, you'd have to show your new products to the jury. So if you make any changes, you're going to re-jury. If you're a new artist, you're going to jury. And it's fairly strict. It's based on quality. It's based on how it fits the market. I'd say about 50% of folks.
How many new artists do you get? Do you think, in terms of new versus returning?
Every year, I would say we run 9 jury committee meetings every other week that we meet at the library. We have 6 for 9, 45, about 20 to 25 new vendors per year. And I'd say about an equal amount of attrition, mm-hmm. loss of membership, because we seem to hover in that 90 to 95 market, 90-95 member range every year. And about half of those folks show on any given weekend, and that juggles a little bit. I'd say about 15 or 20 of my vendors are almost there every single weekend. Most of those are people who live in Ashland, make their living in Ashland. They're here because of the market. They're here.
Would you say that those people that are here, that a large percentage of their income comes from that market? Would you know that?
Yeah, I would say that, so when I started managing the market 8 years ago, the gross receipts of the market were about $400,000. Last year we went to $750,000, $750,000. It's a big increase in 8 years with the same basic number of vendors. I have about five vendors out there that are making between $40,000 and $50,000 a year at the market. It's a pretty major driving force. About that many again in the 30 to 40, and a bunch of them that are in that $20,000 to $30,000 range. And then a handful that don't make a lot, or they don't show that often, but they just want to be a member. They're part-timers. And then the full-timers literally are making, some of them make all of their income at the local artisan market.
Right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We invite the Ashland Culture and Peace Commission. On deck is the Rogue Valley Food System Network in the whole Ashland New Place Festival. Good evening, welcome.
Good evening. Thank you very much for having us, and thank you for the past support. My name is David Wick. I am the Executive Director of the Ashland Culture Peace Commission. This is Irene Kai, also co-founder of the Ashland Culture Peace Commission and Director of Development. I'd like to bring to your attention one of the City Council's goals, which is to embrace and plan ahead for emerging social trends. I want to invite you to continue to be part of a trend that is really significant and is becoming a trajectory. From the beginning of the Ashland Culture Peace Commission, which was founded 3.5 years ago, it was intentionally stated that it is a local global initiative, working globally as well as internationally. The beginning of the Ashland Culture Peace Commission is also working with the City Council to name Ashland as a city of peace, which is by proclamation. You have a copy of your material there in 2017. Building upon that, we thank you very much for having the funds to lay the foundation to become and establish Ashland as a city of peace. Building upon that was then the next year of funding to build the basis of the World Peace Flame Foundation, the World Peace Flame Monument on the Thalden Pavilion, which was very successfully completed and done. That brought in people from three different countries, other states. Travel Oregon promoted this and it's become a major location in our city, and a tremendous amount of interest has been developed.
Since the installation of the World Peace Flame, it's only about 7-8 months ago, and it generated tremendous interest. The Ashland Middle School children, they are the flame keepers now. They tend to the flame every Friday. And also, this Senate in Salem had invited us to go there to give an invocation. And also, Senator Merkley had contacted us and met us at the monument and wanted to learn about the World Peace Flame. And many people are very excited and inspired. So we went to the United Nations and gave them a presentation. And the ambassador of the United Nations was so inspired that he is coming here for
the conference,
which is on your table.
Yes, I did see that outlined in the grant. I'm curious, your mission integrates so much with other organizations in Ashland. Could you tell us a little bit about maybe some partnerships that you worked with?
Yes, we engage with many different parts of the community, and that's very much part of the mission of working with all parts. Because of cultural peace, everybody has a part of that. Everyone is a contributor to that. So we work very closely with Aura, with the homeless shelter. The last 2 years, we have received funding to do the volunteer recruitment and training for the shelter volunteers to keep the shelters open. That's one area. You may have seen just recently, we worked with the police department, and the last couple of days we had the peace officer designation on all the police cars now, which is part of, again, mindset shift. It's really about mindset changing and how we work together. We have worked with the school district, again, with the students' peace-building activities and with the school peace plane. We're going to have an event at the end of the year honoring all the flame keepers with the students.
The ambassador of the UN is coming to honor the middle school children at the pavilion.
Yeah. And there are other organizations that we've worked with and have done training, implicit bias training, compassionate listening training. So it really, everybody has a part of it. So that's part of our inspiration and our mission. It's just the elements. And that part of it that we have to do is making a lot of the interconnections that already exist.
Thank you for that explanation. Any other questions from the group? Thank you both for coming in. We welcome Rogue Valley Food System Network. On deck is the Ashland New Place Festival. In the hole is the Ashland Red Center. Good evening, welcome.
Hi, good evening. Thank you so much. It's been really an honor to hear everybody present this afternoon. I didn't realize quite how much is going on with this. My name is Allison Hensley, and I'm the coordinator for the Rogue Valley Food System Network. I was just hired in January, but when I first moved to the area, I picked up this guide, having my background be 15 years in farming and local food advocacy in Southern California, and I was just, yes, this exists here. And I use it as my Bible and my guide to get to know where I got my food from, where I ate from, where the farmers markets were. So it was quite an honor to get hired into this role and be able to influence what goes into the guide. It's in its 15th year, and I believe you all have helped support it for the last few years. So it's been an amazing resource in the community. This year, I'll share one story, because I dropped off a box to Gigi at Ashland Hills Hotel, and she was sharing with me one of her copies that had writing all over it, and she said it's her Bible for tourists when they come into town, and that was just great for me to hear, because often we don't understand what happens when these go out into people's hands, because we don't have a tracking system or data collection, and that's one of the things that we asked for in the grant. And then the other piece that I think is really important to move into in this next year is developing our website. Last year we asked for some funding to start a website resource, and this year we want to continue to develop a comprehensive database through the Rogue Valley Food System Network. So, I mean, it's such a great, it features over 70 restaurants, groceries, specialty markets, farmers markets, caterers. We drop it off at all of the hotels, so I think it really drives the local economy, as well as sustainability. It's our local food and farm. We do have a system for asking people, the restaurants, who they're buying their produce from, so we know the restaurants are purchasing from local farms. So that's even a stacked function on the dollars that stay in the community. We get them in at the restaurant, and then those restaurateurs, the chefs, then purchase from our local farms. So circulating the dollars in the community, it's a great resource. I really look forward to developing it to be a truly comprehensive resource. We also asked for some scholarship funding in there, because one of the pieces of feedback I got this year was, either small businesses, they're just unsure, they don't really have the funding, and I really want to be able to say, you know what, you're doing good work in the community, let's get you in here. So that's another thing we asked for in the grant. Thanks for your time.
Questions?
What percentage would you say of one of the businesses are in Ashland?
It's about 25 to 30%. When I was looking at it again, we haven't collected the data, but as I was, I did deliveries, Ashland deliveries all day yesterday and today, and every place that I took it into that hadn't heard of it or hadn't seen it, that we should be in there. And so I collected a lot of names. That's part of the plan for next year, and having it be a comprehensive. There's so many amazing restaurants serving locally grown food in Ashland that aren't in here yet. So
I noticed in the application you mentioned the websites to include listings for commercial kitchen, hopes of connecting people with that space for their own personal business. Is that something that's in place now, or that you're looking to build with the website?
Is it the community, the relationship,
or the connecting entrepreneurs with commercial kitchens and space?
Well, that's the work that the Food System Network has been doing. We're a board of 15 at a time members. We've been around for 4 years, and some of the work that they have been doing in the community is connecting the pieces of the food system that aren't already connected. So business incubation, commercial kitchens, just a Tauntaun, they've got an amazing commercial kitchen. So it is about finding the resources and being able to share them.
Thank you for that. And thank you for your time today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Next, we welcome the Ashland New Plays Festival, Ashland Arts Center's On Deck, Rogue Valley Peace Choir, and more. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for this opportunity to talk to you. I think this is the fifth or sixth year that I've made this presentation to the council, and we at Ashland New Plays Festival have been through a lot of changes in that time. About 5 years ago, put together what I think is a very visionary strategic plan that was focused on becoming the best new place festival in the country. We professionalized our board, we created a membership program, we've increased our donor support by an order of magnitude in that time. We're now putting on events in all seasons of the year, doing some intense workshops with playwrights, directors, casts, and doing that in collaboration with regional theaters around the country. We've increased the attendance at our fall festival from out-of-town patrons by close to 30% now of the ticket buyers. So we've accomplished a lot in that regard. We've also been very focused on, and very successful, I have to say, at addressing gender equity in theater and in our theater. We've done concerted outreach to women playwrights around the country. And in the last 3 years, of the 400 plays we receive every year, over half of them have been written by women each year, which is pretty remarkable. I think there's no theater in the country that can say that. I mentioned last year when I was here, I'm going to mention it again because we're very proud of it. One of the women we reached out to was a young woman by the name of Martina Mayo, a playwright from New Jersey, I believe. We did the first public reading of her play, Cost of Living, here in Ashland in 2016. In 2018, last year, won the Pulitzer Prize for drama. So that's one person we're very glad we reached out to. We've also taken a very major step recently in putting together something called Play for Keeps, which is audio recordings of new plays performed by some of the best actors in the country. It enables us to support a lot more playwrights, present a lot more plays. And I mention it because it's supported by a very strategic, focused, and I hope successful social media campaign to market this. That campaign started about 3 weeks ago. The second podcast we presented had 10,000 views in the first 48 hours. It just enables us to reach out a lot further and reach a much broader audience on behalf of those playwrights that we represent. But I mention it too because it has a tagline in every one of those that says, custom made in Ashland War were made for you in Ashland, Oregon. And it's just to get that message across to everyone that this is a center of excellence for the performing arts and a important destination for anyone who cares about the arts. So thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the group? Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Next, we invite the Ashland Arts Center, Rogue Valley Peace Choir is on deck, and Southern Oregon Film and Media in the Home. Welcome.
Hi. I'm Donna Pope, and I'm the Executive Director, and this is Joanne Manzone, and she is an artist and also our board president. The Ashland Arts Center, we are a local cooperative. We have over 100 showcasing artists at any given time. $150,000 each year, hopefully more this year, goes to sales directly to the artists, and all of our artists are local within 100 miles. We offer many classes to every age, but we primarily focus in education to the youth. We plug artists into nearly every school in Ashland, and as you know, the art is diminishing in schools, so we try to keep it alive. We're a very culturally diverse. We have First Friday, we're the best place in Ashland to go for First Fridays. We have anywhere from 400 to 600 people on any given First Friday, and even more so whenever we pair with the schools. We have workshops throughout the year, so we keep tourism alive. Many people come for like multiple days, and they'll do these workshops. We also partner with the Shakespeare people so they can come and take workshops and hear live music on Mondays whenever the plays aren't going.
As well as being a board president, I'm an artist at the Arts Center, and I also coordinate the education for the Arts Center. And we have over 600 classes a year. We have a class almost every day. And we do focus on children. We don't turn any child away for a lack of ability to pay for a class. We try to keep our costs per class affordable for our local people. We also bring in artists from out of the area, which is a draw from people from the Bay Area and from Portland who will come and take classes with us. And we've probably had over 6,000 people last year take classes at the Arts Center.
This year we have a really fun project that we're excited to talk to you about tonight in the sector of sustainability. Last year we had the idea, there's so much garbage every year after the 4th of July parade left in the city of Ashland, and it's a problem. So we've decided this year that we've collected plastics, we are creating a float from those plastics and recycled use. And this year, after the 4th of July, myself and many of the artists will go out and actually pick up the garbage to create the next year's float. That'll be something that we are continuing to do. Along with that, we take in not only garbage, we take in all types of different donation type things for our, every Saturday we provide a free expressions class where anybody can come in and create from these items.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Questions? Stephen.
So, your operation occupies a considerable space in downtown Ashland. Do you have a generous relationship with the owner of that building?
We do.
Okay.
Yes. Greg Provols, he's a really great guy. He gives us, you know, the space discounted. He helps us with a lot of things, though, not just the discount. He keeps the building up to code. He is willing to help us with anything. I know smoke's becoming more and more of an issue, so we're looking for ways that we can eliminate that problem inside of the Art Center so people will have that opportunity to come indoors.
Yeah, and he's also paid for ads for us.
He has. He does a lot of advertising.
It's a great example of a collaboration where you don't have to pay the mostly exorbitant leases downtown.
Right. Yeah, it really is.
And what impact would you say that you have economically for that part of town that's away from the plaza?
Well, I think we bring, you know, we're at the far end of the plaza, so I think that we bring a lot of revenue to the businesses downtown. We do have such a large
you know, we see so many people come through there. A lot of those places are constantly changing on that end of town, and we're giving them, we're saying, here, go to hit the coffee shop or go next door to the fly shop. And I think on their own, those businesses wouldn't have as much vision without the art center there to kind of guide them.
Thank you.
You mentioned the smoke, which triggered a question for me. Did you see an uptick in your class attendance last year?
We did. Okay. Yeah. And then we kind of brought that to the attention where active chamber members, and they were actually looking for ways to eliminate smoke with air curtains and different, you know, filtration systems. And Greg, the owner of the building, has been really helpful with all of those.
And we also saw an increase in sales during that time because people were indoor shopping.
Thank you for that information.
Yeah.
And thank you for being here.
Thank you. And thank you for all of your help in the past. You guys have been really substantial. Thank you for that.
Next, we welcome the Rogue Valley Peace Choir. On deck is the Southern Oregon Film and Media. In the whole, natives of One Wind Indigenous Alliance, Red Earth Descendants. Evening, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. My name is Lisa Apshar. I'm the treasurer for the Rogue Valley Peace Choir and co-owner of the Ashland Book Exchange downtown. I'm going to just speak in general terms, and then Don Sinnott, our president of our board, will speak more in detail. But I have, as a business owner downtown, I have a vested interest in increasing tourism to Ashland because I'm a beneficiary of that. This March concert that we're presenting will bring tourism activity to Ashland during the targeted window between October and April. In addition, we're seeking development funding from the city. Grant funding in recent years has enabled us to further our collaborations with local nonprofits, which aren't strictly collaborative by fiscal sense, but we donate in kind of service to them by saying for free and enhancing their events, like the Culture of Peace Commission, Lighting of Peaceland. This has fueled greater audience size and participation. And we've also collaborated with schools and area senior living centers, with OSF and the Chamber of Commerce on MLK Day. We're honored to perform there this year. And local businesses who sponsor us. In many ways, we are a visible and active part of the community and seeking to expand our reach. Each year, we've had more and more performances than the previous year. I'm going to let that turn to Dawn.
Hi, my name is Dawn Sinnott. And as Lisa said, the Rogue Valley Peace Choir is dedicated to singing songs that raise awareness and inspire and shed light on issues of social justice, peace, and care of the earth. And we thank you for your past support for our combined Peace Choir concert that we had 2 years ago. We have a very special opportunity that developed when our music team, in choosing their music, contacted Judy Collins' music team. And her song, Dreamers, is a song she had written. And our choir team asked if they had it in four-part harmony. They said, no, we don't, but what a great idea. So her music director arranged it in four-part harmony. And then our music team said, wouldn't it be great if Judy Collins could come here and perform and we could sing with her this song, The Dreamers. And so we've been working on that. We've been working on having Judy Collins come to Ashland to perform and sing the song Dreamers with us. We reserved the SOU Recital Hall for March 8th. I think you have a different date, but the Recital Hall availability and Judy Collins availability, so the March 8th would be the date on that, which is a good time to get attendees, and so I think it's a good date change. And we have a letter of intent from Judy Collins managers.
Questions? Thank you both for your time and presentation.
Thank you.
Next, we welcome the Southern Oregon Film and Media. On deck is Natives of One Wind Indigenous Alliance, Red Earth Descendants. In the whole is the Health Research Institute.
Good evening. My name is Andrew Gay. I am the board president of Film Southern Oregon, formerly Southern Oregon Film and Media, or SOFAM, which is an organization that's been, we actually celebrated our 10-year anniversary last year. I wanted to bring up our new website here, which was funded by your grant last year. We have been a member organization for the entirety of our existence, and this year we moved away from that. We used to be very much focused on serving our members, doing networking, and kind of promoting them to film production. But we really realized that we weren't serving our mission well, because we really want to focus on economic development and bring more production here, and we were spending all of our resources on just member services. And so we partnered with Oregon Media Production Association, which is a statewide networking organization and trade group, and they adopted all of our members and grandfathered them into their program. And so now we are, as a board, entirely refocused on developing our region for film and media production. As part of our work for the past 6 years, Movie Maker Magazine has recognized Ashland as one of the best places to live and work as a movie maker. Production in our region has gone down, and part of that is because production is going elsewhere because we don't have an actual film commission here. And that's what we're trying to fill that hole and really focus on that work. And so, for instance, the Central Oregon Film Office has been very competitive in Bend, drawing production away from us. And we want to make the best of the resources that the state has invested. So the state has created a new regional Oregon production and incentive fund that is sets aside some of the incentive funds just for people who shoot projects outside of the Portland metro zone. And so we really want to cultivate our region for targeting that money. And so one of the things we need to do for this website, we have this great sort of permitting gallery here with focus on the different locations you can get. And this links to the State of Oregon's Film Office location gallery. But every photograph from Ashland is about 15 years old. And so one of the things we want to do is redevelop those resources, really show people, bring that money here, get productions here. They use hotels, they use restaurants. The other thing we want to do is do some tourism. The state of Oregon is developing a historic Oregon film trail. We want to get plaques for Wild, which was shot here, and also for Coraline, which inspired, which Ashland was the inspiration for the town and Coraline. We think we can bring families to stop here and take photos of the plaque.
Thank you. Questions from the group? We appreciate your John presentation.
Thank you.
Next, we invite Natives of One Wind Indigenous Alliance, Red Earth Descendants. On deck is the Health Research Institute. In the hold is Ballet, Boca Rico. Good evening. Welcome.
Lalo Talk, Atira Stasi Maxwell. Good evening. My name is Stasi Maxwell. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I'm a co-chair for the Native American Student Union on the SOU campus and a community member of Red Earth Descendants. I'm here on behalf of the various people that are volunteering their time to put on the third annual Indigenous Peoples Day program later this year in October. Some of those organizations and businesses that support, are involved, or contribute to Indigenous Peoples Day are Southern Oregon University, Oregon Shakespeare Festival, Red Earth Descendants, Rogue Climate, and Friends of the Cascades Siskiyou National Monument. All of the money from the grant, if we're awarded it, would go back into local businesses, which I will touch on again now. One of the three free programs that IPD offers to the community is a presentation on the SOU campus to work for school kids. We bring the third and fourth graders over, and we have a mix of Indigenous local faculty, students, and actors from OSF, who make short presentations on Indigenous culture to the students. We support local t-shirt and printing companies by purchasing commemorative t-shirts, which Mr. Jensen is wearing one. And we also provide informative zines for the children and wider community free of charge. This program would then primarily enrich Ashland's cultural and economic portions of the grant. One of the other programs is the Salmon Bake, which is open to the public and held on the SOU campus. We provide a free cultural lunch, salmon, for approximately 500 people. They're also treated to the opportunity to listen to a lineup of indigenous speakers, listen to drumming, and participate in cultural dancing, and also learn about and speak with local environmental advocacy and restoration organizations who we invite to table at the Salmon Bake. One of the speakers we hope to attain for this year is Oregon Representative Tana Sanchez to speak on the current bill that just passed the Senate floor, which would direct Department of State Police to study how to increase and improve criminal justice resources related to missing and murdered Native women in Oregon. So this program would enrich Ashland's cultural, economic, tourism, and sustainability portions of the grant. The third major program that we offer is that OSF allows IPD to, quote, take over the Ashland Green Show stage for a night, which provides another opportunity for Ashland community to be exposed to and learn about indigenous culture. We have had really great success over the last 2 years. We've seen, the Walker School kids in particular is what I help with, and they really love the program and look forward to it. And other local schools have now asked to have the same opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions?
Do I have to declare a conflict of interest now?
It's very sure. Thank you for your time this evening. Next, we welcome Health Research Institute. On deck is Ballet Rico Alegre, and I apologize if I didn't get that 100%. And in the whole, Emerging Futures Youth Network, Southern Oregon Food Solutions. Good evening.
Thank you for having me. My name is Jerry Lehrberger, and I have been the steward of Jackson Well Springs, a.k.a. Jackson Hot Springs, a.k.a. Well Springs, for almost a quarter of a century. I'm also the director of the board of the Health Research Institute, which partners with Jackson Well Springs. We're situated at the north end of Ashland on 30 acres. My presence here and my goal is an attempt to strengthen our application. So thank you for hearing me. Jackson Well Springs was one of five turn of the last century spa facilities that defined Ashland's history as a water center and a center for health and rejuvenation. 100 years later, the warm water underground reservoir that helped to shape Ashland's past is thriving as a thriving community that incorporates soaking and spa, an RV park, a mobile home park, vegetable and medicinal gardens, and a garden restaurant, as well as an event center. For the last 24 years, management and leadership of the Well Springs has been shouldered by the for-profit LLC and a non-profit health research institute. Its mission is one of education, community building, and create a 30-acre botanical park that will separate Ashland, which is moving west, and Talent, which is moving east and expanding. The City of Ashland grant represents an invitation to the city to partner in an exciting and thriving project whose latitude extends across all aspects of the grant: economic development, culture, tourism, and sustainability. With regards to economic and sustainability, Well Springs has applied its efforts towards creating, moving Ashland's past forward with the creation of three new hot water soaking pools. Our 1922 flow-through pool is one of seven flow-through pools in Oregon that is now surrounded by a steam room, sauna, and spa. Our facilities have become truly busy to the point where we really need to expand in order to satisfy the emerging tourist market as well as local market. Well Springs' attention is focused on the addition of these three pools as a clean and green energy project that helps to preserve Ashland's past. It helps to define Ashland's presence and future orientation in health and rejuvenation. We welcome your support in this area of expansion. Oh, moving forward. In addition, we celebrate water, the spiritual aspects, with our educational and educational support from Dr. Omoto, who's come two or three times to present. Beyond water, our attention is to enriching the soil. We have organic farm and gardens that support our restaurant. What we really need is to add on to our kitchen, which is a processing kitchen, our third processing kitchen. It's a rate limiting step in terms of expanding our needs to supply food and nutrition and medicinal products to our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions for the group? Thank you for being here this evening.
Thank you for having me.
Next, we invite Stephen. You have a full pronunciation.
Poporico. Ale Poco. Ale Poporico.
Yes. Thank you. Welcome. On deck is the Emerging Futures Youth Network Southern Oregon Food Solutions, and in the role is Lomakase Restoration Project. I will try better with the full name next time.
It's okay. Hi everyone, my name is Monse Alegria and I work at SOU, but today I'm here as a board member for the Ballet Folklorico de Malegre. I just wanted to mention that the artistic director of the organization was at the emergency room last night, and that's what I'm here representing today, but I'll do my best to answer your questions. Red Malegre started in 1992 and is currently the only Mexican folk dance group in the Rock Valley. Our mission is to empower youth through dance and serve as cultural ambassadors in this region and connect communities across the Southern Oregon. We teach youth from 6 to 18 years old, but we also have opportunities for adults. Every year we perform in more than 20 events to audiences of 20 to 30,000 that support civic, educational, and cultural organizations such as Science Works, OSF Spring Show, Ashland Sports of July Parade, and SOU Youth Programs, and to name a few. In 2019, we predict to perform to about or more than 22,000 audience members in Ashland and around 9,000 from Medford and surrounding areas for events such as the Pear Blossom, the Medford Multicultural Fair, and the Brit Kids Concert, which I know that attract Ashland residents. As I previously mentioned, I work at SOU as a Latino Programs Coordinator, and as someone that provides programming and events in this town, I was not surprised to find out that people living in neighboring towns like Medford, even Tallinn and Phoenix, coming to Ashland can be a barrier for many. So I've been involved with Ritmo Alegre for 10 years in different capacities. I was a previous dancer, now I'm a board member. And something that I've seen is family members, friends, and community supporting the dancers no matter where they perform. And I know this may not seem like a big deal to many of us that are used to commuting from, I live in Central Point, so I drive to work, which is 15 miles, 30 round trip every day, so that's not abnormal for me. But for some community members that have been living in the Rogue Valley for 20 years, the Ashland community and even access to high quality art performances are foreign to all. So I just wanted to point that out because I know that in our proposal we mentioned something about tourism, and I know that might not be as other programs that were previously mentioned. For us, even bringing communities or members that live relatively in that 30 to 50 mile ratio is something huge and crucial for us. So providing access for those families that live in Medford, even Red Pass, to come to Ashland is something really important. Thank you, and thank you for your support and consideration.
Thank you. Questions? We hope your director is feeling better soon. Yeah, thank you for coming tonight.
Thank you.
Next, we invite the Emerging Futures Youth Network, Southern Oregon Food Solutions, and then on deck will be the Lomakase Restoration Project. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Angelina Cook, and I thank you for sticking it out and listening to my summary of the food waste reduction grant proposal. Our nonprofit startup formed in response to the Pachamama Alliance's drawdown sessions that have been occurring for almost 2 years in Ashland. drawdown showcases 100 ways to reverse human influence on global warming, and we aim to employ practical alternatives to climate destabilization at the local level. This grant would build our capacity to facilitate meaningful civic participation in the city's climate plan. People are becoming aware of the city's lofty plan and support Ashland's emission reduction goals. We agree with the urgency of local action in the absence of national leadership, and the community wants to assist in reducing Ashland's greenhouse gas emissions 8% every year until 2050. Residents and businesses are looking for ways to help, and they are particularly interested in solutions that are easy, fun, delicious, healthy, and entail multiple benefits. Our Southern Oregon Food Solutions Group assisted the Department of Environmental Quality in hosting a successful waste reduction for food service professionals workshop last March. More than 13 restaurants from Ashland attended the workshop, and it was evident that local restaurants want to reduce food waste, and they know what is needed to improve current operations. The tasks in our grant proposal are designed to achieve two things: increase low to no waste food choices for residents and visitors of Ashland, and cultivate climate champions in the food service industry who are visible, appreciated by the community, and cooperate on broad-scale solutions such as increasing locally sourced food and improving decentralized compost. Ultimately, we seek to reduce the unruly consumption emissions that the city has limited control over. Drawdown claims that food waste reduction is the third most powerful solution for reducing greenhouse gas emissions. By building a robust, closed-loop, low-waste, efficient food system, we aim to generate jobs, attract visitors, and retain residents because of our status as a climate-compatible community with abundant, low-carbon, high-quality lifestyle choices. By approving our proposal, you can help us accelerate and potentially exceed Ashland's emission reduction goals. Thank you very much for listening and for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Questions? I have a quick one. You mentioned centralized composting as you were going through. Is that like a place where Ashland residents can bring food with?
I meant just decentralized compost, where it's more neighborhood scale, so it doesn't involve high transport, but like decentralized composting, kind of neighborhood composting, but organized.
Understood. So helping communities create their own compost drop-off area so then they can take it back to their gardens in return.
Or whether it be soils at SOU, the farm. So there's places in Ashland that are naturally suited for community compost. And to build soil, to connect compost collection with building fertile soils at a scale where you're not driving it to White City.
Fair enough. Thank you. Mike?
So are you working with the Ashland Seed Coordinator? Or?
I have spoken with Stu, and I have attended a few of the Conservation Commission meetings. And so, we are beginning those conversations, and we really are interested in forming a functional partnership with SEEP so that we can help legitimize the greenhouse gas emission reduction goals.
Thank you. We appreciate your time tonight.
Thank you very much.
And now we invite Little Cozy Restoration Project.
Little slider of some photos from the program. Good evening. I'm Shane Dimmerfield, the program director at Lomakati Restoration Project.
I'm here to talk to you about the Ashland Watershed Shed Youth Training and Employment Program. First, I'd like to let you know Marco sends his regards. He usually is the one that does this, and he enjoys it very much. He was invited to testify in D.C. before the Congressional Committee on Natural Resources to bring the AFR model, to educate them about the AFR model, and as you know, this program is a big part of that. So that's pretty exciting. As you, we all know, what's going on in the West around wildfire and community resiliency and protecting communities and the values, clean water, the forests, is all a big part of what the Ashland Forest Resiliency Project has been working on and has actually created a national model. And that recognition has been invited, basically, to share that model and in hopes that it could be broadened across the West. So that's going on. That's pretty exciting. You know, it's a community engagement. It's also workforce development. This program is modeled on that aspect where the Ashland Forest Resiliency Project is not just one of short-term stewardship, but an investment by the community long-term. This is something we're going to have to be stewarding this watershed for perpetuity. And a big part of that is mentoring the next generation of stewards. Who are those people? Where are they going to come from? How are they going to learn and know about what needs to be done? So Loma Cassi's created this curriculum that we invite every year, and it's going on right now. Students from the area high schools, primarily Ashland, but also we get students from Medford, Phoenix, Central Point as well that apply. And as you know, you've supported this program for the last 6 years. This is the seventh one. We've had nearly 500 applicants in that time frame, and we've been able to serve 120 of those youth, and this year we're going to serve another 20. And the flyer that I gave you shows you some of the metrics of, you know, that we measure, some of the goals, some of the projects that they work on. But I think what I'd like to do is take you to a little bit of a different place. And it's not too far from here. It actually happens right in this room. So if you can imagine 20 youth sitting right behind me here, it's the last day of the program. My time is up. I'm not paying attention.
Well, why don't I ask you what that last day of the program is like, if you can wrap it up with it.
So,
if you can wrap it within about 30 seconds.
I'll try. So, that last day, what we do is we hear from the youth. Stephanie's all about this, she attends. And they share with us their what they've learned, but also what we learn about it is that they're hearing a lot of doom and gloom in the world. Climate crisis, war, all of this stuff. And this program gives them an opportunity to learn how they can help, some way that they can be proactive to do something about that, and how they can engage into the future, what role they can have, what are the career paths that will help facilitate that long-term stewardship that I was talking about. And not only myself, but others that sit back there and listen to them, it draws tears out of our eyes. It's pretty inspiring. And thank you all for contributing to that and making it happen every year. Any questions other than that?
I'm probably biased. I've actually attended every beginning and every ending session since the program started. And, one of the things I would say is that I've seen some students go into that career after the program, so there's an economic aspect to it, as well as the aspect of learning that they can get along with a wide variety of people. I've seen girls come with fingernail polish on for first day and wonder how they make it through and see when I'm finished.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I don't have any money that I get from this, but I certainly feel love joy.
Thank you very much for your time tonight and your hard work.
Thank you.
And I think that takes us to the end of our presentation list. Our next meeting will be on May 14th at 6 p.m. Please note the location. It's going to be in the Siskiyou Room at the City of Ashland Community Development and Engineering Services Building. That's over on Winburn Way. So 51 Winburn, is that correct?
Correct.
Excellent. Adam, did you just want to give us any last-minute pointers as far as how we fill out the sheets, how we return the sheets?
I think the easiest thing is to do whatever Natalie tells you to do on the instructions. She's got it all. She's got it all figured out. So you know, we obviously take your individual scoring, we try to compile it into a spreadsheet, and then that starts your ability to kind of go through things as a group on Tuesday night. So what was the dates that we were shooting for everybody to submit?
By Monday.
Okay.
It won't take that long.
Monday, 5 o'clock.
Noon in the morning.
Is there a spreadsheet? That
I'm going to send out another spreadsheet tomorrow morning.
And what's important for us to do with the spreadsheet? We need to be sure that enough of the money goes to tourism.
And those allocations are set in the spreadsheet, okay. So you can see where you're at.
So it'll give you a running tabs to hit, because we have to hit the minimum of the TOT. It can go over into the aggregate, but we have to at least hit that $80,000 on the TOT category. So Natalie's got it set up to where it's kind of a self-monitoring as you go through and do your scoring.
So do we pick up those spreadsheets, or
I'm going to send them to you in an email.
Okay.
Yes. You can type it all in, and then I'll copy and paste it.
And we'll also send an email to the applicants as a reminder of the location change, because we don't want to miss anybody up there.
That's helpful. Thank you, because I know some may need that. And just again, as a reminder, as we go through, the category minimum per applicant is 1,000, but the total must equal a minimum of 5.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. And it's still highly likely, depending on how 5 people break that down, that when Natalie compiles the amounts, there will be many that fall below that 5,000 threshold.
I'm just a straight up averaging. Yeah, on just the math, it does come out where there'll be a few typically that end up getting some from some and 0 from others, so it ends up being 3, whatever. So then the group has to kind of go through an exercise of how do you sort that out. And I've seen it done. Every group kind of handles it a little different way. So there's no one right way for the group to go through it.
Perfect. Go ahead, Steve.
Having gone through the spreadsheet and filled mine in, it's pretty friendly, particularly with the modifications you made today, that really add all those up for you as you go and gives you your target, and it gives you the over and the under. And, you know, if you're $20,000 over, then you've got to go back and look at a carving knife. Because we all want to be generous.
Don't we? Especially with so many wonderful organizations presenting.
Right. I was very impressed tonight. I was told that only a few would show up. I think we have 100%.
100%.
That was awesome. Yeah.
Just give me less. So how much over are we in the money that's requested versus?
It's about triple, I think. It's a growing number. It's what I've been doing these for a while. It's about double. So we've now grown it to be triple asked for than we have funds for. So it makes the job increasingly challenging for you all.
Okay.
I do like the idea of those dollar amounts, so we don't have to end up with a lot of really small, unhelpful grants.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When we do give out the money, it's a meaningful amount.
That was a specific desire of council in 2012, was to
to up those to ensure that those dollars are you know, have a little bit more weight to them, usefulness.
And that's a good point, Stephen, that upon review, make sure that as we're awarding that it can actually accomplish the mission that's being presented. So thanks for bringing that point.
I just remind you, if you don't have that resolution for some guidance, I think we've sent it out at least once, but we can make sure we send it out again to see it. Have that as a kind of a check back, kind of look and see if it's helpful to kind of guide some of those when you're making all those touch calls between very valuable and similar type applications.
And any questions we have, do we direct both you and Natalie?
Yeah, that'd be good. Give it to the book. Yeah.
All right. So with that, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Please adjourn.
In a second.
Second.
Excellent. Everybody have a good evening. The meeting is adjourned.